From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, exploring the latest on how technology is changing our lives and our society. The Consumer Electronics Show is gearing up in Las Vegas as I speak. At almost 50 years old, it's one of the tech event dinosaurs, but it does offer insight into the bleeding edge of hardware from companies big and small. This year, Katie Drummond, Gizmodo Editor-in-Chief, will be there. Katie, what will you be looking at?
It's cars, cars, cars. We are looking for Ford and Google to announce some sort of partnership to develop and manufacture autonomous cars, which would be a huge deal. We're looking at virtual reality. So that's been big at CES since 2012. It's going to be big again this year. We're probably going to see the latest Oculus, and we might even see Sony announcing a PlayStation VR. And beyond those two, which I think are the really big ones, this was the year of the hoverboard. I mean, 2015 was all about hoverboards. They're a bit of a nightmare. They're actually banned from the CES show floor. But I have a feeling we're going to see a lot of sort of cheap hoverboard knockoffs pretty much everywhere. And you can expect Gizmodo to make fun of a lot of them.
Gizmodo's Katie Drummond there. More from us once the CES party starts. 'Tis still the season of college and university applications, many of which were due on January 1st. And while it's rare for an applicant to change a school's policy before even being accepted, prospective student Joshua Jackson proved all bets are off in the age of social media. Joining me now with more is Marketplace's education correspondent Amy Scott. Amy, tell me about Joshua.
So Joshua is a self-described lower-income artist of color and wanted to apply to NYU's master's program in arts politics. Uh-huh. The student requested a waiver for the $65 application fee, which is a fairly common practice. Universities will often waive application fees for low-income students. But the answer that Jackson got from NYU's director of graduate admissions went something like, if $65 is a hardship for you, how can you expect to pay the $60,000 tuition we charge for this program? So basically, no.
And I guess anytime an email starts with, don't take this the wrong way, but
yeah,
that's a
exactly.
Bad beginning.
Yeah. And Jackson posted the entire email exchange on Twitter, along with a series of tweets calling out the school and this employee, and got a ton of support online, and eventually an apology from NYU and a change in policy.
The students' moves here started this hashtag shame on NYU that went viral. Would this change have happened the way it did without social media?
You know, I was trying to imagine that. Would it have been a letter to the editor of the New York Times or a protest that eventually got picked up by the news? This happened in a matter of days. So I think just being able to reach a huge audience immediately is a new phenomenon with social media and something that we're seeing more in these campus protests.
Amy, does it look like institutions are starting to realize that they need to be more nimble when it comes to responding to things that are happening on social media as they relate to policies at those institutions?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, increasingly, students are sort of viewed as customers. And in many ways, this is like a consumer campaign on social media where, you know, the United Breaks Guitars video, you may remember, where somebody has a bad experience and can easily reach a lot of people. And universities are finding they have to react. They at least have to put out a statement very quickly. They can't ignore these calls for change when students have such a big mouthpiece.
Marketplace education correspondent Amy Scott. Amy, thank you.
You're welcome.
Last year, comedian Amy Schumer filmed a sketch that showed a group of accomplished women on a panel at an innovation conference doing something over and over.
Oh, so thanks so much.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
No.
Sorry.
Please,
I just thought that,
It was a pointed critique of a culture that makes women say sorry too often, but it was also inspiration. Entrepreneur Tammy Reese was talking with someone at a recent event featuring female tech founders, and an idea was born, an extension for Google's browser Chrome geared towards women, which identifies certain words and phrases while composing in Gmail that might undermine their email messages. It could also be useful for those of us who can default to being deferential. Tammy Reese is the CEO of the developer studio Cyrus Innovation, and her team built the application. Tammy? How does it work?
As you're typing emails in Gmail, if you use one of our trigger words, which include just, sorry, I think, actually, I'm no expert, and does this make sense, it underlines it as if it was spell checking it.
Why did you make this?
So I was a female founder, and I now run this company. And in April, we started a female founder initiative. And over that time, I've met with around 50 different entrepreneurs in New York City who are trying to get a startup off the ground. And what makes me sad is when I think about how many of them have brilliant ideas but don't know how to communicate them well. So this is really a mindfulness communication tool.
This may sound a little strange, but I guess as I was learning about the tool, I was wondering, should the tool be built in the opposite way to make men use language that's actually more deferential?
This is a question we get asked a lot. Are we policing women, right? Are we trying to change women? And in reality, when we look at the feedback, it isn't only women who are excited about this. This isn't only a female problem. Mm. And at the same point, it isn't only a problem when men are listening. As a generation, we've been taught that leadership comes with a sense of confidence. And good leadership comes with a certain tone. I don't want men to become more deferential. I want everyone, if you believe in your idea, to be confident when you're communicating that. If we want to come off as strong and confident, we shouldn't be diminishing and we shouldn't be shrinking our message with these qualifying words. We should really just be saying what we think.
Tammy Reese is the CEO of Cyrus Innovation. She helped create the Gmail plugin Just Not Sorry. Tammy, thank you for talking to us.
Thanks for having me.
You can find a link to this tool at facebook.com/marketplacetech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.